Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Today I have some insider, super special success strategies of super achievers just for you. What if you could succeed at everything you tried to do? What would that look like in your life? For most of us, we have many things that we prioritize as being what's important to us. And the things that may be important to us aren't necessarily important to the person next to us. But the thing about it is in order for you to succeed, to achieve super success in the things that you are going after, there are some key principles that you're going to learn today that are going to help you deal with things like overwhelm, learning how to take time off in your business and still have your business grow. The thing about it is that everybody's going to make mistakes. That is not the stopper to your success. We are going to teach you today, though, how to be able to overcome, to not just succeed, to not just make it, but to be super successful through five success strategies that we're going to share with you today that are going to help you be a super achiever. Are you ready to be a super achiever today? I hope so. Hold on. This is going to be a fun ride for you. And when you're done, you will have the tools you need to achieve. Now, in order to help me with this today, I'm joined by Marnie Swedbar. She is an expert at helping people not only know what things that they need to do, but then succeed at a highly, massively important level with the things that are important to them. I want to remind you one more time, today's success goals are about what is important to you so that you can have the super success in your life for the things that are important and that you need to go after. Join me in welcoming Marnie Swedbar. How are you today, Marnie?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Steve. Fun to be here.
Oh, yeah. We're really looking forward to it. So, you know, you kind of came to me from one of the referral companies that I work with. Tell me a little bit about you and, you know, what you do in business.
Well, I am one of those James of all trades, and so I basically, I exist to encourage women, provide them with practical help and clear focus. So that's what I do. In doing that, I have three different main prongs of my life. One is that I have an online business that I provide connection and training for women in leadership positions. And with that, I've mentored over 14,000 leaders from 30 countries and heading to Africa here in a couple of days to work with six different countries down there in women in business. And then locally here in our small town, our family owns a restaurant and a retail store. So that's kind of what I do in a nutshell.
All right. Well, that keeps you busy. I mean, 14,000 people, foreign countries, and a restaurant, which is a 24/7 job in all and of itself.
Well, right. And of course, you know, you have to be surrounded by great people in order to make these things work.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to ask you, where do you find the time? Do you ever sleep?
I do. And in fact, I take one day a week completely off. I completely unplug. I can do that most weeks, maybe 50 weeks out of the year. I can do that. Not always on Sunday. Sometimes I'm traveling or something on Sunday, so I have to be a different day of the week. But absolutely, it is possible. And, you know, I hope that's what we're going to talk about today, a little bit about how to think about that, because there are seasons of life when it's not possible. So I compare like a new business to a new baby. If you say to a mother of an infant, You should be getting more sleep at night. She would say, lovely thought. I'd like to also, but the baby needs me. And so there are seasons when you can't do that. But for the most part, you should be able to be being not necessarily balanced. I don't know if you can ever, you know, life doesn't allow really a lot of balance like that. But you shouldn't be overwhelmed all the time.
Hmm. What would you say to the person? I mean, because I know there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that they live from overwhelm to overwhelm. What would you say to them?
Well, it is an addiction. So, you know, you have to step back and say, you know, is everything I'm doing what I need to be doing? Am I doing things that I don't need to be doing anymore? Or are the things that I'm doing that I can delegate? Or are the things that I'm doing that are just fires? You know, a lot of entrepreneurs really never get past putting out fires. And that's really no way to live unless you're a fireman. You know, I mean, if you're a fireman, that's what you want to do for your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you really need to be thinking bigger than that, just going to the next fire. And so it becomes this habit. It becomes your definition of who you are, that you're the one that is always doing that. I'd like to give, can I give an illustration of one that was happening to me and what we did about it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we bought this restaurant. At the time we bought this restaurant, I had my online business that I was doing. I'd already written, I think, maybe 6 or 7 books at that time. I have 13 out now. I was homeschooling our kids, and we bought a restaurant. And I had never worked in a restaurant, not even as a waitress, but I had written a book about kitchen shortcuts and about how to manage a kitchen. And so I felt like I had, you know, a little bit going for me there. And after about 6 weeks, it became clear that this restaurant was going to own me. And so my husband said, how's it going with the restaurant and homeschooling? And I said, well, we're either going to sell the restaurant or we're going to quit homeschooling, one of the two, but these two cannot coexist. It's just impossible. I can't do it all. And so he said, wait a second. And he said, let's look at this differently. And, you know, that's really, Steve, when you bring in a culture of consultants, that's honestly what they bring you. They look at your exact situation, the same scenario you've been looking at all the time and finding it hopeless, and they see it from a different perspective, and they help you see it from a different perspective. So he asked some clarifying questions. You know, why is it that you can't get the staff to cover the shifts? And, you know, like this. And so what we did at that time, this was 14 years ago, we established a bonus system, and it's a 3-pronged system where they get a bonus of up to 6%. One of the prongs is up to 6% if they send Marnie home. It's the send Marnie home bonus. And it's basically, if they want that bonus, they have to keep me off the floor. I can do the managerial stuff that I'm supposed to be doing, but if I'm making food, if I'm serving customers, then that hits their bonus. And what happened is it took our very irresponsible team of people who, you know, would sometimes just call at the last minute and couldn't come in for whatever reason. It took them to being a team of responsible players who would cover their own shift or find a sub, and they were willing to cover for each other because they knew that person would then reciprocate when they needed a cover. And so it really took us from being hopeless to being very productive, and it had side benefits beyond the fact that I was able to continue homeschooling our children.
And that's really important. I love that. So it's the send Marnie home bonus. Wow. You got my mind spinning, you know.
I know, right? You know, and honestly, we put some money behind it, and we still have that money behind it. That money's still behind it. It wouldn't need to be there anymore, but it's one of the benefits of working for us. And when you're looking at this, I talk about this in the D of the delegate. I teach the ABCs of success, and the D is delegate, and you have to decide what you're going to delegate. And typically when you delegate, you're going to pay somebody to do that work. And so you have to build that into, you have to factor it into what their base pay is, factor it into what you're charging for your products or services. But if you're going to choose to delegate, you're going to have to pay something for that, you know, typically.
Mm. That makes so much sense too, because a lot of times, you know, we fight between that, well, I don't want to charge my customers more, and then we just never give ourselves a break to be able to, I don't know, breathe, have lunch.
Oh, I tell you what, the pricing thing is so important. And when we have a retail store also, and what happens is, you know, and even online, I have a directory, the largest directory of Christian women speakers in the world is my directory. And so what I do is when you're pricing, you look at all the other prices that are out there for a similar service. Okay. And then you decide, am I going to be the limousine? Am I going to be, you know, the round truck, or am I going to be the little, you know, kick-around car? And then you decide where in there you're going to be, and then you make sure that you resonate with that. And Steve, this is the most important part. If you price it wrong for who you are and what you're going to deliver, first of all, it's not going to work. Second of all, you'll never be able to sleep at night because you just don't, you aren't okay with it. And then whenever somebody says something to you like, okay, last week I had 3 days in a row where people told me that I should give them things for less than they were for sale for. One was at the restaurant, one was at the store, and one was online. And so you're never going to get away from that. No matter how low you go, you're going to have people who want you to give it to them for less. So you're going to have to just come to a point of peace about how much you're going to charge for things, charge that much to be okay, you know, put things on sale. You have to always have something on sale. We live in a culture that there are people in our culture who never buy anything unless it's on sale, even very rich people who just look for the sale and don't feel good about themselves unless they buy it on sale. Mm-hmm. So you want to accommodate that person, but don't build your business to that person. Build your business to the person who's going to pay a reasonable price for a good service.
Mm. That's worth saying again, a reasonable price for a good service. Yeah.
You know, and Steve, I just want to say too, if you actually give good service, like not mediocre, not hit and miss, but if you give consistently good service, you will save so much money in marketing that it will be amazing. So you can either market to death to keep pulling in new customers who haven't had your rotten service yet, or else you can just take care of your customers, and you can have lifetime customers that are of a lot of value.
Oh, trying to regain my composure. That's so funny.
Well, I mean, it really is true. It's really true. And it's really tough for people who are selling a product that only will ever sell once. You know, that's probably the toughest business plan. Compared to that, a restaurant is super easy. You know?
Yeah, no kidding. You just, I don't know for you. I mean, I've been in this since 88 too. So, you know, it's been a while, you know, that I've dealt with different people and their coaching programs and stuff. And when you say a phrase like that, this whole string of people who from the outside standpoint seem massively successful. But when you get, you know, a little closer in and see what their business is really doing, their success comes from what batch of people can I trick next into so that I've, you know, I'm making $1 million, but I'm making it, you know, $1 at a time from a different million people or whatever that is, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I am always telling my coaching students or my mentees, I'm always telling people, you have to know who you are. You know, if that's who you are, well, then it's probably not going to work for you to try to do it the other way. But honestly, most people that I work with aren't like that. They aren't going to be able to sleep at night if they do it that way anyway. And so what you need to do is find out who you are, what you've been equipped to give. You know, when God strung together your 3 billion base pair of DNA, he did it in a particular way. You are so unique and you're so amazing. What you bring to the world is so needed. And so when you can stand in that and just believe that and receive that, that you are unique and we need you, well, then, you know, when you look at other people's pricing, the reason they're pricing it that way is because they have to. You know, it looks so expensive to do certain things. Well, let's say this is a silly example, is eat at an airport. I hear people complain all the time about how expensive food at the airport is. Well, I'm just going to tell you, if you have to pay rent, like they have to pay at the airport, and they have to pay their employees more because those employees have to pay for parking every day at the airport. And if you had all those expenses, that you would realize that they do have to charge you $1 extra for your burger. And it's really not because they're price gouging you and they'll be running home rich. They're just, that's just the cost of doing business there. So if you can get comfortable with how much you're charging and what you're delivering, oh my goodness, you'll just have so much fun in business. And when people criticize you, you'll be okay because you've already really thought that through.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's so much fun to hear you basically say a couple of different words, but basically say the thing that I say to the listeners every single week. And that's that you're uniquely brilliant. You specifically were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. So as we go into this first commercial break, I want you to look at yourself in a mirror. Go find a mirror real quick. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, you are awesome, and the world needs you. And then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife, Sharon, had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realized there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Marnie Swedbar, and we are talking to you today about the five success strategies of super achievers. I hope that you picked up some good tips to start off with, really understanding how massively awesome you are. So I'd like to really jump into it now. I'd like to really jump into the five success strategies of super achievers. I'm going to guess that we've maybe, kind of touched on them without, telling people that's what we're doing. But let's jump into them now. Maybe start off, can you tell us what the five secrets are, or do you need to explain them in order to make them make sense?
No, well, they're pretty basic, and then we do want to dig in because some of the things about them aren't basic. So it's the 80s, and you just go A through E. A is for assess and assign value. B is for batch. C is for calculate. D is for delegate or do. And E is for evaluate. So you've got the bookends of assessment and evaluation, and that's critically important. We'll talk about that as we go through them. Then in the middle, you have B for batch, C for calculate, and D for delegate.
Assess, batch, calculate, do, and evaluate.
Yep, delegate or do. Yep, and you can't miss delegate. I tell you what, we maybe need to start with D first. So D is so important because most entrepreneurs that I talk to say, I wish I could delegate. I wish I could afford to delegate. I wish I had, the people that would come around me. But the reality is, you guys, that you delegate every single day. So, Steve, for example, do you grow your own cows and butcher them and get your own beef and stuff like that? And, you know, do you have a milker out there that you go and milk? And do you grow all your own produce so that you can not delegate to the grocery store? Or do you sometimes delegate some of that to a grocery store?
Yeah, I go to a grocery store.
Yeah, great. Me too. And I don't grow my own cotton and have a loom and make my own fabric and make my own clothes. I sometimes delegate some of that responsibility to a clothing store. And so, we have mail that we don't run all the way across the country with. We delegate things every day, all day long. But somehow, when we get entrepreneurial, we get this mindset that we can't afford it. And what I teach you is that you have to afford it. You can only stretch your own self so thin. And if you aren't doing the things that only you can do, well, then the things that only you can do aren't going to get done. And your business will not grow because you're doing the things that other people could do for you. And I know everybody says, you know, it's about money and everything. But when we bought our restaurant, and it was such a good learning experience because we had never owned a brick and mortar before. And we had a consultant come in, and she just said, you have to pay yourself a salary every month, even if you have to borrow money to do it. You pay yourself a salary every month. And we were like, well, isn't that the thing that you would just not do? And she said, but if you don't make a practice of doing it, it'll be years before you ever see money. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We priced things differently because of that. We had higher estimate of what we needed to bring in because of that. We did ourselves differently because of that, because there had to be that salary in there. We couldn't fudge on it. We had to have it in there. And because of that, we ran that business differently than we would have if we hadn't had that.
Mm. I like that. And I don't want to de-emphasize any of the other 5 points, but that whole delegate and the afford part of it is so huge. I mean, what do you say to the typical, both of us work with women in business. So a lot of times these are folks that have either just left a job. And so they're feeling that giant gaping hole where their business, where their, corporate income used to be, or, they're a mom and, they see the needs of the kids all day long. Where do they come up with the money? I mean, does a person need to do like Lisa Nichols did and put away $60,000 before you start, or is there a trick?
Well, it's going to depend on your business, of course, and what you delegate can be something, like, for example, for me, for a while, what I could delegate was to hire a homeschooled girl who was, just a young girl, and just say, if you want to come in and be a mother's helper for me, like a babysitter, really. And just come in and help with the kids and help with the cleaning for a little bit. And it wasn't very expensive, but it did free me up for a couple hours a day to do what I couldn't do without that help. And so I think that you have to look at, obviously, you have to look at what you have available and what you can do and can't do. And, honestly, my kids, we were just talking about this weekend. My kids are out grown now. But talking about how when I was writing one of my books, my first book, I would take them with their sleeping bags over to the church, which I had gotten permission and a key to use the office, the computer in the office to save me. But in 1996, that was the computer that was available to me. And I would go over there in the middle of the night, and I'd have them in the nursery in their little sleeping bags, and I'd be just right across the hall in the office typing my book up until 2 or 3 in the morning. We'd go home, put them to bed. I'd get up the next day, do the day, and when they took a little nap in the afternoon, I'd take a little nap. And that's how that book got written. So you have to say, where am I? What do I have available to me? What can I move around? What can I shift around to make this work? And I know, Steve, if you've been working with women who are entrepreneurial and who are really goal-getters, you're going to know that a lot of these women get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they run hard. And it's a long day, but they're going to make it fit because that's their passion and that's their heart.
Well, and in the end, it really boils down to two things. Kathy's always saying whatever you focus on grows. And secondarily is what's important to you. Because it's so funny. You were talking earlier about people that want to, ask for a discount on anything regardless, and yet those same people that come to you and say, I can't afford your program, or I'm going to need to wait, or those kind of things, if they're actually part of your life, you come back and you see a week, a month, whatever later, they then spent an equivalent amount of money on something else, you know, and it's something, you know, really impactful for their business, like a Disneyland trip or something like that. You know?
Right. Oh, absolutely. We all have these motivators inside of us, and some of them are reasonable and some of them are completely illogical, but nevertheless, they are what are driving us forward. And so, you know, the saying, profit, know thyself, where when you see yourself behaving in a way that doesn't make any sense, you need to step back and say, why did I do that? Is that what I want to keep doing? And if you can't quite find, you know, if you can't quite find the balance there yourself, then you need to bring in some outside help so that you can see it better and get a clear perspective about it.
Well, and I'd like to dig into that just a little bit more because, you know, Sandra Yancey was saying, you know, last year this time when her and I were talking on the interview, and others have said, you know, only do the things that only you can do. How does a person who is struggling identifying that, you know, because they've done everything. I mean, let's face it, every business starts with a Jane of all trades, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How do we identify that?
Well, I think the way that you identify it is the creativity piece. So, for example, I can, at my retail store, I can teach anybody to run my till, you know, to be a checkout clerk. I can teach people how to make, you know, we have a coffee shop, how to make espresso coffee. I can teach a barista how to do that. What I can't teach everybody to do is to go up to the next level and think about the next promotion that we're going to do and how all that ties together with people. Now, I may be able to bring in somebody to be that marketing person, but for the size of business we have, there's really not anybody on my staff that's really going to do that other than me. It's kind of like a mom with a baby. You know, you love your baby the most yourself. So you have to say, you know, which of these things can I easily, and not, you know, not so easily. I say at the restaurant, it takes us about 100 hours before we have somebody really up to speed that's doing a top-notch job every order. But so it's not so easy, but it is doable. 100 hours, you know, that's a couple weeks, less than a month if you're full-time. So if you say, but how about now to take something to the next level and have them think creatively about my business, about what direction we can go or what projects or new things we can add. And we do pull our staff in for, you know, ideation and things like that. But you're going to be the only one that's really going to set the direction for your business. And if you delegate that out, that's where you're going to lose your business, actually. And that may be what you want. Maybe you want to have a hands-off business. But if you want to stay in it, you're going to want to stay there at that level and really get some time to that so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. I mean, a lot of times when you get too busy, you don't even have a new promotion going on for months or a year. You know, you can just have that time to think about it. But that's where, you know, that's where you're going to be. Your business will begin to morph into something bigger or different as you give your thought processes to the development of it, compared to the daily running of it.
Absolutely. Well, I don't want to devalue the other four parts of the five steps. So let's talk a little quickly here about the other four. So assess. What do you mean by assess?
So you're going to find that you have things in your life that you thought you needed to do, that you don't need to do, that you thought you didn't need to do, but you do need to do. You have to just keep assessing everything and looking at it and saying, is this really necessary? Is this item of my life really necessary? So possibly, you know, I can remember one time in my life where I would drive 100 miles a day. That was just part of my day. I just drive around the Twin City area in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and 100 miles a day, and every, you know, 20 to 35 minutes, I would stop somewhere and have a 15 to 30 minute appointment, and then I would go to the next one. Okay, so in that time, when I assessed that was really necessary, so that particular thing in my life, that was a necessary part of it. So what I decided to do is assign it the value of memorization and meditation. So I just had little 3x5 cards, and each one had on it a quote, and I memorized the quote, and then I would meditate on the quote, and I ended up with over, in a process of about a year, I had over 300 things that I quote to you exactly what that saying was, or the scripture verse, or whatever it was. And I had thought about them deeply, and that was an amazing year of growth for me because I had assessed that I didn't need to do that much travel every day and that I could use it for value. And so, Gabby Douglas, Olympian gymnast, she said she assessed that she was going to have to experience some pain in order to become a gold medal Olympian. And so she assessed that that was necessary and assigned it value. And she would say, the best days are the hardest days. That's how she assessed that. She assessed it was necessary, and then she assigned it a value that if this was a really super hard day, then this was one of the days that I made the most progress. So if you will take time to assess everything and then assign it a positive value, we just had a conversation before we started here, Steve, where you said because you had lost some recordings in the past of your shows, you get a double record now to be prepared. You assessed that it was necessary for you to take a backup, and you assigned it a value. I'm going to do it because I am committed to my guests that we're not going to lose the recording. That's awesome, and that's what we all need to do. We all need to look at what is it in our life that we need to change a little bit around, or what do we have to do that we didn't really want to do, and then we have to assign it a value.
Absolutely. So what do you mean by batch?
Batch. Okay. We batch things in our everyday life, but sometimes when we come to our businesses, we don't batch. So, for example, when you make a batch of chocolate chip cookies, you don't pull out all those ingredients and then make two. That would just be ridiculous. You make a couple dozen, and then you're done. Or you make maybe six that you're going to bake, and then you freeze the rest of the dough so you can slice and bake later. That's batching. When you go to the gas station, it would be ridiculous to just put in a gallon. You're going to really just fill that thing up, and you're not going to stop again until you have to. So that's what batching is. And, we think of it like in business. I like to think of it like a hospital. A hospital will triage or batch different types of patients. So you've got the ones that are going to die unless you treat them right this second. You've got the ones that, they can wait a while, and you've got the babies all in one section. You've got the cardiac people in one section. So you've got a hospital that's batching in order to make it work. Well, in your business, you need to think about where you can batch. Obvious example is your email. Do you need to be getting a ping on your cell phone every time an email comes in? Or could you just say at 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock every day, I'm going to check my email? You would save so much time if you could just batch some of these, even right down to the managing of your mail. Do you actually need to manage it every single day? I learned with one of our businesses, I was managing it every day, and I could go to a week. I don't do anything with it. I stick it all in a drawer, and once a week I take it all out, and an hour and a half later, I'm all done. And that's it. I don't have to think about it. I don't mess with it till then. And it did take a little preparation. When I first started doing it with the business, I went every other day, then I went every 3 days, then I went 5 days, and then I went to the full seven. And I did have to make some different arrangements with some of the people who were used to having payments the next day. I did have to just call them and say, because of my schedule, I am only going to do this once a week. What do I have to do to make that work for you? And you know what? Everybody could deal with it.
That's really, really great advice. All kinds of things, including going back to, we were talking about delegate. What are a batch of things that you could give somebody to do? So, you were talking about the example of having a mother's helper come in. She's watching the kids, and maybe she can, even if she can't cook, maybe she can prep vegetables for you or, things like that. So, yeah, really good one. So what about...
And if you take the time to, I have an Excel. I just have an Excel document that has every chore in my house and how long I would anticipate that would take. And then all I have to do is if I have somebody available, whether it's one of my family members or whatever, if I have somebody available, I can just say, you've got 3 minutes, could you do these two? I know that. I know those things. And if you know those things, it'll help a lot.
So what about calculate?
Calculate, so I'm going to give you a little calculation that you can use on anything. So here is how you think about it. You go result divided by investment equals priority. So if we went back to our firefighting mentality, we would not have that equation going on. We would say urgency divided by results would equal priority. But the one you need to do is results divided by investment equals priority. And so, and we don't have time here to go into all of this, but if you just keep that equation in mind, it will change everything. If you just keep saying, yeah, but okay, I've got four things that I could do today, but one of them is going to net me, you know, $1,000. One of them is going to have the potential to net me $10,000 over the next few months. One of them is just going to cost me money, and it's really not going to matter. Nobody's going to notice. I mean, you're going to be able to really quickly identify which things should be your priority. And even if they don't take the whole day, you'll find that as you prioritize things using this calculation, results divided by investment equals priority, you're going to be so much happier with your outcomes.
Mm. Results divided by investment equals priority. Wow. We need to do a whole show just on that one sometimes.
and don't think of investment just as money. Investment is time. Investment is emotional strain. I mean, think of investment as investment.
What are the things that you are investing yourself in? Your time, your money, your patience, all of the things that you're putting your time into. Think about that. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mesh Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realize there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here with Marnie Swedbar, and we are talking to you today about the five success strategies of super achievers. We want to jump right back into it and give you some more of this juicy content. Well, and so I want to cover the fifth one, evaluate, but I want to do it a little differently. You know, because we were talking about, number four is do or delegate. And I like to usually ask my guests like yourself the question, if you knew then what you know now, what would you do differently? So giving an evaluation of some of the top things you've learned over the course of the last years, what thing would you do sooner that you didn't do early on in your business?
Well, I think it's kind of like parenting. There's this great book that I read when I had babies, and it was called How to Raise a Child in Your Spare Time. And it's by a pediatrician. It's old, but it's by a pediatrician. And basically his whole premise in the book was, with your first child, just pretend it's your second. Which is great and hilarious. But it's really tough to do that. When you have a new baby or a new business, you are going to have to just learn some of this stuff the hard way. You really are. There's really not going to be a way for you to just all of a sudden know everything you will know when you go on to your second child or your second endeavor. A lot of this, you're just going to have to learn the hard way. Dave and I, when we bought the restaurant, that was a smaller business. The retail store is much bigger, 12,000 square feet, two levels, 12 departments, 140 some vendors, just big compared to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we would make mistakes, and some of our mistakes would be, a $10,000 mistake. And at first, we just were not able to deal with that very well at all. It just felt so awful and so unnecessary. And then finally, we just came up with this way to think about our mistakes as college credit. And so if you think about a student going to college and happy to pay $1,000, they're not so happy, whatever, willing to pay $1,000 for a credit. And we had just taken a 10-credit class, and we had learned something, and we would never do that mistake again. Mm. And so I think part of it is just relaxing into the process that you're simply not going to be able to do it all right the first time. Not if you're starting a new business. You're going to have to make the investment, say this is the cost of doing business, give me learning how to do business. And, when you were asking me what I would say, I would say don't fret it so much. Just recognize that just like any other thing that you do, whether you learn to drive or whatever it is, you're going to have to learn how to do it. And that's going to take a lot of practice, some mistakes, a couple crashes maybe, and, just do the best you can and go forward. Learn from the mistakes and don't beat yourself up in whatever you do. Don't think that you're the only one that ever made a mistake in business. I think one of the most comforting things to me, Steve, even though we haven't had to go bankrupt, which is a mercy, but how many people in business have had to go bankrupt once or twice or even more before they really figured it out? And there's something to learn from that. It's a huge risk. You're doing it because you're entrepreneurial, not because you're perfect. And entrepreneurial take risk. And that's part of the deal. You left your salary and you left your health care and you left all those things because you had that entrepreneurial spirit. Well, part of that is to be willing to make mistakes and pay for them and to move forward.
I love that phrase. Think of mistakes as college credit. It's so important for us because nobody can take away from you the things that you learn. And when we begin to assess and those kind of things along with it, we can learn a lot. In fact, most of us would, after the years, we would say that really we probably learned more from the things that we did wrong than the things that succeeded. Because a lot of times success, keeps you so busy that you're not really grabbing a hold of those nuggets that you really should be learning. Whereas, the pain of a mistake just etches itself in you and you're never going to forget it. So, but if you can turn that around and look at that, I paid for a college credit. I have a doctorate in, how not to do that, it's how to do
exactly.
It.
But I think you do. It's again back to the assess and assign value. You wouldn't have chosen to do that wrong, but in the period of evaluation, you would say, I did it wrong. So how do I assign value to that? I say, I learned something. I will never do that same mistake again. And if I see someone about to make that mistake and I'm in a position to help, I can prevent it, from hurting them also. So I think that, there's so much value there, and the evaluation is so important. I really like the example of when President Obama first became president, And I can see now that he has expanded his wardrobe tremendously. But when he first became president, and he really only had two colors of suits. He would either wear gray or blue. And that was it. No other choices. But, you know, during those first years when he was learning to be president, he really didn't have the time or the energy to decide what to wear. And so what he could do is he could go in his closet and grab anything, and it would match. He could just grab anything, and it would match. And so I think that for a new business owner, or even, you know, even now, juggling as much as I do, I simplify every way you can, and that may not be the place for you. But wherever you can, just keep evaluating, is this necessary for me? Is this something that's really important? And then when you go back and you make a mistake or you evaluate, you know, apparently now he's evaluated that he has time to think about his wardrobe. So, okay, that's great. But whatever works and whatever season, and just remember too that things are really seasonal, you know, tied in, tied out. You have a season of a new business, new baby, as they grow up. Guess what? People can take more responsibility and you're more free to do other things. So all of these things are important to keep in mind with the business.
Absolutely. Kathy used to always say to the girls, you know, and Maya's 17 now, so, you know, all the kids are basically grown now, but I've heard her say to them a million times, especially the girls, you know, because, you know, the insight that a mom can bring to their daughter, the phrase, there are many seasons in a woman's life, you know, and it's so true because, you know, that season, I remember back, you know, and like you said, Maya's 17, so it's been a long time ago, but I remember back those times when you felt like you were never going to sleep again in your life,
right.
You know,
right.
And that felt like it was permanent. You know, you just knew that was going to always exist. And then next thing you know, the last of the little ones is going, you know, is starting elementary school. You know, I remember that first day when Alex started elementary school. Alex is our youngest son. And, I remember I was walking out and I wasn't actually crying, but I was definitely, you know, feeling emotional. And one of the parents at the door, you know, first day of school, you know, she looks at me and she says, "Don't worry, we'll take good care of him." And I said to her, I said, "It's not him I'm worried about."
Who's going to take care of me?
Yeah.
And it is so difficult when you're in a season, of tight finances to ever imagine that you could have plenty again, when you're in a season of so much overwhelm, trying to learn so many things at the same time and teach other people while you're at it and hold together. There are seasons that are just really tough and other seasons that are just much easier. And I really love the phrase, I learned it first for marriage, Steve, that sometimes ties in and sometimes ties out. And, you know, when time's out in a marriage, it feels hopeless. It feels like it's just over. It feels like there's no love left at all. And, like, you know, you're just out at sea and you don't even know where they are and you just can't even figure it out. And then time comes back in and all. Get those loving feelings again, and everything's going to be fine. And, you know, and it's like that in all of life. It's like that in business, too. It will ebb and flow, and you just have to recognize, okay, just relax a little bit and try as best you can to enjoy the journey, because all you have in the end is the journey. So enjoy the journey.
We're going to take another really quick commercial break here, and then we will be right back with Marnie Swedbar, the 5 success strategies of superachievers, and some ways that you can become a superachiever right here on Thriving Entrepreneur. We'll be right back. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelp.com. youthrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Well, Marnie, we're going to run out of time before we run out of really fun things to have. And I guarantee you, we definitely will do another show with you. But before any more time gets away from us, I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to let people know what they could work with you on and how they could get in contact with you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so easy. It's just my name, Marnie, MARNIE.com. And what I really love to do is I love to do a one-on-one. I don't have a big process that you go through. You can either do it for a month with a group coaching or else one-on-one per minute, just however much you need when you need it. And then I love to talk to groups, either in webinars online or conferences on premise, to talk to women who really have a passion and a kind of goal in mind. I call them goal-getter girls. You know, women who really have, you know, they have a vision, they just don't know quite how to get from here to there, or they're just maybe stuck today. And so that's who I love to work with, and it's always fun for me to work with you that way. There's also a lot of free training, and all my books over available at Marnie.com.
And I love that you own Marnie.com.
Isn't that funny?
Well, no, it's so awesome because back in the day, back in, oh gosh, it would have been 97 or 98, we were telling people you should buy your name as a domain name.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, of course, everybody's like, yeah, you know, whatever. We're not even sure this internet thing's going to stick around, you know.
Right.
And now you got to come up with a domain name that's like, you know, XYZ453296.
Right.
And make that mean something.
Yeah, that's it. I have a fun story. I have an aunt who just loves me and has invested so much in me. And she one day sent over and said, I have actually bought you your website name. My name is Marnie Joy. And she said, I bought you your website name. And I said, oh, thank you. That is so awesome. I already have Marnie. And she goes, unbelievable. You have your name. Mm. So it is. It's pretty fun to have my own name. And that was one of the things I got for my kids too, their own name.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, Marnie, let's leave people with one specific thing that they could do, like right now. They could turn off the podcast and they could right now implement it. What could a person do?
I'm just going to give you a phrase, and I think you should write it 100 times today and then write it at least 10 times every day going forward. There are all the resources I need to do everything I was created to do. There are all the resources I need to do everything I was created to do. So remember that you are unique. There's nobody else like you. And as soon as you really figure out what you're here to do, then there are all the resources already, just like an acorn, you'll have all the resources needed to become a big tree. There are all the resources you need to do everything you were created to do.
There are all the resources I need to do everything I was created to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to write that
over and over until you believe it.
Oh,
and it might take years before you believe it because, you know, you're sometimes short of time or support or finances or whatever, but you just know that even though you don't see it today, if you're really meant to do that, it'll be there. It'll be there when you need it.
Take that in like the little engine that could, saying, I think I
That's
can,
right.
I think I can. And, oh, yeah. I mean, we need to have one of those little things, you know, like they do on cameras on some reality shows where the camera is like off of their head and up in front of them, you know, bouncing up and down. We need that on a little tablet that just, you know, everywhere we go in our eyesight, it just says, there are all the resources I need to do everything I was created to do. I absolutely love that.
Good.
Any final word for the people? I'm so grateful for you spending the time with us today.
Oh, this was so fun. This was so fun to be with you, Steve. You're a great interviewer, and it's just fun to share this kind of stuff. That's what I love to do. I just love to encourage people and to provide some practical help and clarify some cloudy thoughts. So that's what I love doing, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much. And remember, everybody, there are all the resources I need to do everything I was created to do. Check out Marnie at marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E.com. I'd like to take these last few moments, as always, and first of all, give a shout out to my wonderful, amazing wife. If you haven't met Kathy Kidd yet, well, you're in for a treat. You know, you can check out some of her stuff at WeHelpYouThrive.com, or even better yet, become part of the conversation. BestsellersGuild.com. It's a free group. Kathy shares some of her unique brilliance every single day of every week in there. You know, you're talking about an amazing lady who not only is my wife, but has been helping people market themselves online for almost 20 years now. So I really encourage you, take the time and go to bestsellersguild.com and check out how you can be our next best-selling author. We really are excited about the opportunity to bring you folks like Marnie and other people who are changing the world. And we know that inside of you is a message that needs to come out. I've said this before, but for those of you who haven't heard it before, I want to make sure that it gets said again. There is somebody right now that is sitting in front of a computer and they're typing into Google an answer that comes so easily to you. It's like second nature. It may even be that thing, as I've teased often, that you say so often that when you start into that conversation, your kids roll their eyes. You know what I'm talking about. That's because the core of you, the heart and the soul of you, comes out in everything you do. Often as parents, you know, we find ourselves buying into the trap that we're not important, because the thing that comes to our mind is, I'm constantly telling the children to clean up after themselves. I'm telling the children to do their homework, those kind of typical parenting things. And we diminish our own personal value because we don't understand. There are people who that's not important to them. That's not a diss on them either. It's just simply the things that come out of our mouth is an abundance of who we are as people. We can't contain it. We can't hold it in. It just comes out because it is so intricately a part of who we are and what we believe. So I encourage you to share that message, because like I said, somebody's searching right now for that thing that you could answer with grace, with ease, no problem at all. But if you don't have that message out there for them to find, they will not find those answers. In the end, we've been talking this whole entire hour about being a super achiever. And the biggest, most incredible success that you can achieve in life is to be the best you that you can be. We've had an amazing Oprah. There are all kinds of people who have played the role that they were meant to play with grace and perfection. But what the world needs now is the world needs you. Like I'm always telling you, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. And I want you to know and never doubt that the world needs you. Kathy and I are here every day to help you live your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.